Title of this morning's address is Give Peace a Chance. Today's the 15th of January, the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. And tomorrow America will celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And that day is a celebration of the life of one of America's most influential leaders. The struggle for civil rights for African Americans, which he led, was based on the concept of peaceful, nonviolent protest. His dedication to exclusively peaceful protest was inspired by his Christian faith. In using peaceful protest, he is following the example of people such as Gandhi, Jesus, Socrates. Gandhi, Jesus, and Socrates are individuals who changed history without violence, but at great personal cost. And this morning I want to say something about their lives and of these individuals. Look at what they had in common and see what we could take from their example. King was born in 1929. He died aged just 39. His death was part of an exceptionally vivid time in American history. This was the time of legally sanctioned racial segregation. It was when three charismatic American political leaders were assassinated. The 28th of April of this year will be the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington, when 250,000 Americans gathered at the political heart of the country and demanded civil and work rights. It was during that march that King gave his inspirational I Have a Dream speech. King had spent the night writing a speech for the day. The speech he wrote was never fully delivered. And this is because King sensed that he was losing his audience with whatever he was saying to them. And he paused to sort of just take note of what was happening. And a woman close to him said, "Tell them about your dream." And so King began his famous I Have a Dream speech. We all know it. That speech captivated the audience and still has the power to stir emotions. King's campaign did achieve much. However, the death of George Floyd in May 2020 is confirmation that his dream is still unfulfilled. But when we view footage from the violence King and his supporters faced, we see that there have been improvements. In the 50s and 60s, unarmed people repeatedly walked into the path of water cannons, vicious dogs, and bullwhips. And it is testimony to the bravery of the human spirit, to the leadership qualities of King. Beyond the physical danger to himself, King knew that he was putting the lives of his wife and young children in danger. His home was bombed. And King sensed that he would never see his children grow up. And despite that, he continued the struggles because of his belief that God had called him to do some particular work. His conviction of his calling came to him in the quiet hours when he reflected and read his Bible. So King's Christian faith was his inspiration and the source of his exceptional courage. His Christian faith was woven into his life, the Bible, the bedrock of his actions. King was also inspired by Gandhi's campaign of nonviolent protest. In his work for independence, the independence of India, Gandhi led mass protests. Again, the marchers were confronted by extreme violence and the imprisonment of protesters. I think the genius of both leaders was that the concept underlying their protests were simple. They weren't complicated. Everyone could take part. Boycott the buses in Montgomery. We don't want to travel that way. Boycott the buses. In India, Gandhi says, don't pay salt taxes. Walk to the ocean and make your own salt. I think it's interesting that both men prepared their followers for these protests, not by classes in self-defense, but by religious practice and by living very simple personal lives and following their faith. While King was of the Christian faith, Gandhi was Hindu. Gandhi was once asked what he thought of Christianity, and his response was that he thought Christianity would be an excellent idea. But that response does hold the grain of truth. Christians are not noted as pacifist. Gandhi himself, even though he was Hindu, was greatly influenced by the teachings of the Buddha. And the Buddha never imposed beliefs on his followers. However, aspirants were asked to undertake to refrain from harming all living things. It's slightly different than thou shalt not kill. It is to refrain from harming all living things. King and Gandhi were both married. Each had four children, and both were assassinated by shooting. King just 39 years old, Gandhi at the ripe age of 70. Actually, he was 78. Both lived simply, both lived their faith, both addressed injustice by exclusively peaceful means, and both were seen as being too powerful to be allowed to live and continue with their work. Pacifism, active pacifism, has power. In ancient history, we have two other different examples of individuals whose lives changed history. Both dedicated to pacifism, and both thorns in the side of their respective co-religionists. First one is the Greek philosopher Socrates. The second is Jesus, the origin of the Christian religion. Socrates was born in Greece around the year 470 before the Common Era. He founded the school of philosophy in Athens. And everything we know about Socrates, we know from the writings of his pupils. Most famous of those was Plato. Socrates never wrote anything, nor did Jesus. Socrates was executed by public decree in the year 399 BCE. And the charge against Socrates was that he was corrupting the youth of Athens and of impiety. And that charge of impiety was because he refused to honor the gods of Athens. The charge of corrupting the youth of Athens was that Socrates stood in the street and challenged people to think for themselves. He referred to himself as being like a gadfly, sent to goad people and ask questions to make them uneasy, to wake them up. Why do you believe that? Why do you do that? Question everything. Don't live from habit. Don't do things because this is the way they have always been done. Live by conscious awareness. Socrates said, an unexamined life is a wasted life. He was also accused of refusing to honor the gods of Athens. It wasn't that he was atheist or anything like that. From his childhood, Socrates listened to what he considered to be his personal spirit, his personal god, or his conscience, whatever you want to call it. It was his god, not some external belief that was imposed on him, that he honored. He was found guilty and sentenced to death by drinking hemlock. As he left the court, the crowd in the court jeered at him. His sentence, carrying out the sentence, was postponed for several weeks. It just didn't happen, and that was unusual. And some believe that it was to give him the opportunity to escape. And he did have many opportunities. His friends visited him, the door was left open, there was a ship waiting to take him away. But Socrates refused to leave. And the reason he refused to leave was that if he did, he would be disobeying the law of the land. And he took hemlock and drank it. He wanted to give some to the gods, which was the tradition that everything you drank, you offered some of it to the gods. The guards told him, no, there was just enough to bump him off. And he just drank it, walked around for a while, lay down and died. Just over 400 years later, Jesus, the Jewish rabbi, walked the land of Judea. He too questioned the status quo. Jesus challenged the religious rules when he put people rather than those rules at the center of his religion and his activities. He was a threat to the religious establishment at the temple. It was the Jewish council that made accusations against Jesus. It wasn't the Romans, it was his own people. It was the religious leaders. As in the case of Socrates, Jesus was the source of too many questions and too much honesty. Like Socrates, we are told that at his trial, the crowd jeered him. Socrates was married and he had children. And I think that that was something about Jesus as well, that he was probably married and probably had children. Jesus, we are told, died around the age of 33. Socrates was 70. Both followed their path, fulfilled the work they were sent to do, and died without protest. They never called for retaliation. In these four lives, we see that goodness is not confined to a particular religion. The Christian found inspiration from a Hindu. The Hindu found inspiration from the Buddhists. Jesus was of the Jewish faith. Socrates followed the voice of his conscience, his personal spirit. Goodness in humanity is not found are confined to any particular religion or any particular people. These stories also tell us that peaceful protest succeeds. The path to success is never easy. It demands sacrifices. Many, many individuals must deliberately put themselves in danger and be prepared to suffer in order for peaceful ways to succeed. When people spoke to, or when Gandhi spoke about, you know, if we go on these protests, they're going to arrest us, they're going to throw us into jail. And Gandhi's comment was, well, when the jails are full, if we still protest, what are they going to do with us? The end of every conflict is negotiation. At the end of the First World War, the victors, if they can be called that, set out to punish the defeated. That revenge generated the circumstances that led to the Second World War. 20 years after the guns were put down in 1918, they were back again. At the end of the Second World War, America took a different path. They sent aid to Germany that was utterly destroyed and helped Germany to recover and to form its vibrant democracy that they have today. Violence, even though it's our fallback situation, but violence always begets violence. And violence damages those who are injured. And maybe it damages the perpetrators even more. You know the civil rights marches in the 1960s in Northern Ireland, when the civil rights were battered over the head by the police? I wonder how the policemen who did that feel when they see that rerun on TV. I'd love to hear a comment. That violence damages the people who perpetrated it is so obvious, and so many people who came back from the First World War were damaged, sometimes beyond repair. Darkness cannot dispel darkness. Only light can dispel darkness. Likewise, hatred cannot change hatred. Only love can replace hatred. Nonviolence is the only way to ensure lasting peace. But that's not an easy path. It is the more difficult one. And it makes demands on every one of us. Not just the army people send off to war, but on everyone. Amen.